last week we saw some things about the call. We were told that the call was personal. The call was public. The call was precious. The call was priceless, and it was also a profound call. Then this week we're going to look at the promise of the call. So this week we're going to look at the promise of the call. If you're able to stand, we invite you to stand as we read God's Word, Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 20. Mark chapter 1 and verse 16 says this: Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Jesus said to them, Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther than thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we do again tonight want to stop, and we want to pray now for Brother Roberts and his family, and Brother Davis and his family, Lord, as they travel. Lord, there's those four vehicles and a lot of miles to travel between here and there, and probably a lot of different types of weather between here and there. And Lord, I know that they're tired from packing and getting ready to go. And Father, the Lord, I know their emotions probably have drained them as well. So Father, Lord, I pray now as they travel. Lord, I pray now that, Lord, you might keep them awake, keep them alert. Lord, I pray you put a hedge of protection about them as they travel. Lord, I pray, Lord, that each destination they have planned, Lord, they have reached that destination at the time they have planned, and safely. Lord, we pray for our prayer list tonight. We think of the missionaries around the world that are tonight in harm's way. Lord, I think of the missionary friends of Brother Siebert. Father, Lord, I just pray you give them protection this evening. Father, the Lord, I pray now as we look into your word tonight, Lord, I pray you might open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things from thy law. Father, last week we saw a personal call and a public call and a precious call and a priceless call and a profound call tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we look at the promise of the call. Father, Lord, I pray you'd work in my life and in each life here. Accomplish your will, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You could have a seat. I'm going to read the text here one more time. Verse 16, Now as he walked the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net in the sea for the day they were fishers. Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. So we see the call here in verse 17 to come ye after me, and then we see the promise also, and I will make you become fishers of men. We look at scriptures, we're able to tell from scriptures that these men that they did become soul winners, and then they went on to do some great things for the Lord. So tonight I'm looking at just a couple of things from this text about how we should be able to apply to our life as well. We see the first thing, the first thing that these men learn is that we must follow the right person. Verse 18 said, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And then in verse 20 said, and straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and they went after him. So we see the call. You had to follow the right person. Now let's see where all they went. Turn if you would over to John chapter 4 and verse 18. Look at John chapter 4, verse 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 4. In verse 18, we see that the first one here is that we must follow the right person. John chapter 4, let's back up here, back up to verse 11. We see here the woman at the well. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto him, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman saith unto him, The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not the husband, and thou saidest truly. So we see here that as they followed Christ, they became to the woman as to the well. Now look back to Mark chapter 5, verse 9, somewhere else that as they followed Christ that they came to. Book of Mark chapter 5 and verse 9. Mark chapter 5 and verse 9, we see here that it's a man of the Gadarenes. And we see here, let's start reading in verse 4. Because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken to pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? He answered, Legion. My name is Legion, for we are many. So we see that when they followed Christ, they came to the woman at the well. We see they came to the demonic of Gadara. Now turn over, if you would, to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Mark, Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 7. Again, the disciples, these are the people they came across as they would have followed Christ. Luke chapter 7. And we're going to look around verse 36. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36 says this. When one of the Pharisees did desire that he would eat with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought him an alabaster box of ointment. So we see here, he went to the house of a Pharisee. There was also there a woman that was a sinner. Then on over to John chapter 8, verse 7. I know we're going to go through a lot of verses, but we're going to draw a point here in just a moment. John chapter 8 and verse 7. John chapter 8. We see here the woman that was taken in adultery. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that's without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. So we see that as they followed Christ, they came into situations like this. Now back to Mark chapter 7, verse 25. I think it's good to draw points from scriptures. Mark chapter 7, verse 25 and 26. Mark 7:25 says, For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came, fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Cyprenician of a nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. He said, I begin to think about this. You know, I need a young man with lots of energy. Anybody here, young guy, lots of energy? Young man? No volunteers. Josiah, can you come here for Josiah? You're a young man with lots of energy. Here's Josiah. With Christ by the seashore, he called these four men to follow him. So you follow me, okay? You ready to follow? They followed. You know, they went along. They came up this situation and that situation and this situation. Come on, wait, just follow me. You know, they came to the woman at the well. They came to the demonic of Gadara. They came upon a man named Nicodemus. They came across a lamb with five fishes. They came upon all these things. And I begin to think, when they followed Christ, they came into all kind of situations. I think, you know, what would they have learned here from this lesson when they followed Christ? So I'm just saying, that's very good. What they learned, they would have learned this, that Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. He came with not just for the Jew, not for the Gentile, not for the black, not for the white, not for the good, not for the bad. But as they followed Christ, they learned by example that Christ went to all people It didn't matter if they were a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter if they were a sinner or a good person, the world would say. But when they followed Christ, they get an overall view that Christ died for all men. Truly, John 3:16 became real. For God so loved the world. When Christ came, wherever he traveled, wherever he went, the disciples, that they saw in him a love for lost souls. They saw for him the woman as a well. Christ loved her, and Christ wanted her to get saved. They saw the woman taking adultery. That Christ loved her, wanted her to get saved. They saw in the life of Nicodemus in John 3 that Christ loved him, and he wanted him to get saved. So I think the first thing that we can learn tonight is as we follow Christ, truly it would teach us, as I really follow Christ, and I have a heart to follow him, I will learn that Christ died for all men. I will learn that God loves all people. You know, and then the closer I am to Christ, as I follow Christ, still today, just as Christ took his disciples, those examples, still Christ today, he works in the hearts of folks like Wayne Haddix. He works in the hearts of folks like Brother Headley and Miss Hiles. He works with folks out here in Goshen. He works in the hearts of folks down Elmwood. And as he works in their hearts, he brings us in the way as we follow him. He brings us. Here is Miss Peters, works at UPS. Somewhere at UPS tonight, God's working the hearts of some folks. As she follows Christ, God will bring her into their path, and it'd be her responsibility to be a witness to her. So we see the first thing that they learn, about beneficiary of men is number one, you have to follow the right person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing, turn back if you would to Luke, to Mark chapter 1. Excuse me. Mark chapter 1. Number one, we must follow the right person. Number two, we must have the right preparation. Mark chapter 1 and verse 19 says, and when he had gone a little further, thence he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship, mending their nets. As they would take, and whenever they would fish for fish, they would take and they'd mend their nets. It would make sure that the nets was all good to go. Pastor, we teach a message here about a month or two ago. I was on the nets there. But as they prepared their nets before they go fishing, I began to think, Lord, what can I learn from that? Turn, if you would, over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Number one, we must follow the right person. Number two, we must have the right preparation. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I should have been turning there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I have a response. Just as those men that would take and they would fish. I need another volunteer. Although all the team boys are sitting in the back tonight, they're killing me. Alex, come up here. Did you raise your hand? He raised his hand. Good. Next week, in Bible quiz, just go ahead and give yourself a 100 for volunteering. Okay. Okay. Before they would go, they would mend their nets. Before we go, sanctify the Lord God in our heart. Take time to prepare our hearts. Take time to spend alone with God and say, Lord, I need you today. Lord, I need you to lead me to some souls today that you have prepared their hearts. Take time to prepare our hearts. We always pray for prepared hearts, but at the same time, we should pray to God, prepare my heart. And then when we take time to stop and begin to pray for folks that we might come in contact with throughout the day, that as God prepares their heart, and then when we open our Bibles and we read our Bibles, and that God will prepare our hearts as well. It's important, number one, that we follow the right person, and that's Christ. If I am a follower of Christ, it would take me to situations where He has hearts prepared for me to be a witness. If I have to take time to prepare my heart, and then I'm a more useful Christian. We almost went fishing last weekend. We almost went fishing. So we got there to the shore. But you know what we've done before we got there? We went ahead to the bait shop. And I got a special line that the guy said last year. It's a great line. So I ordered a spool. The guy said, "You don't buy a spool, that line." I said, "Well, I brought 35 guys up. Can I get a nice guy discount?" Tell you what I do. So he put a bunch on my reel for me for free. And then we bought the spreaders and the hooks. Talked to him about the bait. We prepared to go fishing. Because if we went prepared, we'd have to catch more fish. Same way with soul winning, folks. To be a fisher of men, I need to realize, I need to stop, sanctify the Lord in my heart, says that, examine my heart, examine my life to make sure that my life is clean. As I pray, if I say it's going to go out soul winning this Saturday, if he prays before he goes, said, "Lord, if there's anything in my life that's going to hinder your work today, please show me." I believe the Lord will show him what would hinder his being a witness that day. And once the Lord shows him, if he asks the Lord in sincerity and truth, if it's in sincerity, the Lord will show him, and then he has a choice to make. Will I make that right and prepare my heart to go? Or will I not make that right? And I'm going to go. But it might hinder the blessing of God upon his life. Question is, do we love souls that we're praying for more, or our selfish sin anymore? If, let's just say that I has a loved one's lost, he prays for that loved one, he prays, but yet there's something in his life that he knows is not right, and God's convicting him of it, and he won't forsake that sin. The Bible says, "But your sin that separates between you and your God, his face shall be that he will not hear you." If there's sin in his life that he knows hinders his prayer life, he's got a lost loved one or a lost friend that he's trying to witness to, and he refuses to sanctify God in his heart by confessing that sin, it will hinder his prayer life and how God can use him. Number one, I follow the right person. Number two, I have a prepared heart. Thank you, Brother Alex. Number two, I have a prepared heart. Let's go on down to the next thought here. Number one, follow the right person. Number two, have a heart that is prepared. And then number three, we must find the right process. We must find the right process. Turn back to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I should have marked that. Mark chapter 1. Verse 16. Mark 1:16 said, "And now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea." When they fished, they looked at the word casting here. It gives the idea of casting here, casting there, and casting here, and casting there. Idea of casting with everywhere. I'll be able to think, "Well, Lord, what can I learn here? These men just cast everywhere." That means tomorrow, when Brother York he goes to work tomorrow, he should cast a net at work tomorrow. He should witness. If he stopped to get gas, he should just cast a net there while he's getting gas. He goes to the grocery store, he should cast a net there. Wherever we go, we should be a witness to the lost around us by here they cast a net, it's efficient for fish, but here we share the gospel. You know, in our lives, are we a witness to the lost or not? We witness by our lifestyle, number one. But number two, we witness by the words that we say. We tell them about our Savior. It used to be a thing called, it was lifestyle evangelism, where they taught that you won people to Christ by the way you lived, and you never had to confront them with the gospel, because the gospel is the gospel is offensive. And that sounds good, but that's not God's plan. It's God's plan that I go and tell. Everybody says, "Well, you know, you tell you the Romans Road or the method from John, or you just to the old. You know, we know what method ought to use. Just go and tell. Go and tell. Just go and tell." Can I come up a little bit real quick? I love my wife. Now, can you tell me about the day I proposed to you? Do you remember the day I proposed to you? Don't blow my illustration. Yeah, you did. Why? Because it's special. You might try to forget it, but you'll never forget the day. I should have rehearsed that one. But you know why she's able to tell? You know why I can tell about the walk up the mountain, walk up the path, sitting by the cannon, having a word of prayer? Right? Yeah, okay, good. What time I use illustration like this? And I had her from, we would teach a class in Dayton, and we'd see a married class. I'll take you about our favorite date ever. And on the way home, she says, "That wasn't me." That's a bad thing to do. But the reason that we remember that, it was special to us. Soul winning simply is this: when you tell someone else how you got saved. It's not having to know a method or a presentation. It's when you go to somebody and say, "Listen, can I share with you what Christ did in my life?" And simply share what great things God has done in our life, and how we got saved. There's no special process. There's no special method. There's no 1, 2, 3, pray after me prayer. It's simply when you tell other people what God has done in your life. Thank you. I'll talk about your memory later. She scared me for a minute. And then the next thing, go to you with Haggai 2:19. I think one of the missionaries last week mentioned this verse. Zephaniah and Haggai 2:19. Number one, you follow the right person. Number two, you had the right preparation. Number three, have the right process. That's simply to go and tell what God's done in your life. And then number four, to have the right place. Haggai chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "Is a seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine, the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree have brought forth. From this day I will bless you." And the missionary said, I think it was here last week or two, I heard it, said, "Is this a seed yet in the barn?" The disciples would not have fished on land, because that's not where the fish were. The disciples would have fished out in the water where the fish were. It's easy to come to church with our Bibles and say amen and sing songs and greet each other, talk about the Lord, and talk about the Lord, what He's doing in our lives. But when we're in the workplace, in the break room, there's a bunch of guys around. That's where the rubber meets the road. But that's where the fish are. The fish are in the workplace. The fish are at the garage where we take our car. The fish are at the grocery store. The fish are outside these walls. When's the last time that we try to take somebody through how we got saved. Say, can I just share with you what God did in my life? I believe with all my heart that God has prepared hearts for each of us to talk to. It might be at the workplace, it might be at the gas station, it might be at the garage, it might be at the grocery store, it could be out at just a mall somewhere. But folks, God wants to do a great work in our lives. Just as God called those men, so God calls us today. We're called to be fishers of men. We're called to go and tell. And then let's look at the last point, and that's where I wanted to get to this evening. But this is the last point. The last point simply is this: we must furnish the right patience. We must furnish the right patience. Turn back to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We must furnish the right patience. Mark chapter 1 and verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, I will make you fishers, I will make you become fishers of men. I don't believe it was instant. I believe it was a process. We look at the life of Peter. We see he preached a great sermon there in Acts chapter 2, and thousands got saved. We look at the life of Andrew. He's known as being a witness for the Lord. As we look at the life of James, he's known as being a martyr for the Lord. As we look at the life of John, we see that he penned, I think it was 5 books of the New Testament. He pastored a church in Europe. And we see that he's known as the one that loved the Lord. And what these men didn't attain, that all at one time. It was a slow process. God was working in their lives. But God could work because they had begun to follow Him. Many times the devil discourages us in our ministries and soul winning by the fact that we think we can't do it. We can't learn the Scriptures. We can't do this. We can't do that. But Christ said, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. As I begin to follow God, go where He leads me, do what He tells me to do, God will bring people into my life that I can witness to. Their heart is prepared. And all I have to do is simply tell what great things God has done. And God will bless that. But many times I'm afraid we become discouraged thinking that we're not smart enough, we can't do this, we can't do that. God called these 4 fishermen. Peter, a rough, tough fisherman that had a hot head and just talked before he thought sometimes. But God used him in a great, marvelous way. The Lord called Andrew a fisherman. But Andrew became truly a fisher of men. Several times you see him, the one that brought so-and-so to Christ. The Lord called James a fisherman. James became a pastor of a church. Became a martyr for the cause of Christ. And John, a fisherman, a rough man. The one early speaking, looks like I had one of the close relationships with Christ, humanly speaking. God called them, and they followed. A ragtag bunch of guys that simply followed, and God did great things in their lives. I can learn from this passage, if I will follow Christ, He will bless. I might not be super smart, not smart at all. Might not be able to talk too plainly. Might not be able to be a social person. Whatever excuse we want to throw out there, if I will follow Christ, He'll take me to situations where He says, okay, Jake, it's time to speak. And Jake says, speak. And then eventually, another situation, sometime later, the Lord said, okay, Jake, it's time to speak. As he follows Christ, God would do a great work in his life. We might not see it right now, but maybe 10 years we'll say, man, look what God's done in Jake's life. But if Jake would have quit or not started because he was afraid of the call of God, or he was afraid to be a step out by faith, become a fisher of men, he would never accomplish those things. It doesn't matter how young or how old we are, how intelligent we are, or how lack of intelligence we are, or how good looking we are. Those things don't matter. All that matters is I say, Lord, here am I. Send me, Isaiah said. Lord, here am I. Use me. God wants to use each one of us in this room tonight in a mighty way. Pastor preached a couple weeks, 8 weeks ago on the call. I think one was soul winning and one was restoration. Is that right? Okay. And folks, God wants to use you in people's lives. The only thing I miss about working at Formica, the only thing I miss is that I have more opportunities to soul win there than I do now. I can knock doors in Elmwood. I can knock doors here, but there at Formica, I was there 10 hours a day, 6 days of 60 hours around a bunch of lost people. It was a gold mine. We saw folks get saved, go to the churches there in the area. It was a gold mine. Lost people everywhere. You have an opportunity of friends and neighbors and co-workers. You have the call of God to go and tell. You have the promise, if you will go, he promises, I will make you fishers of men. If we leave this life having never led a soul to Christ, it's our own fault. Because we didn't follow and we didn't go. God calls. Along with the call is the promise. You answer the call, he'll fulfill the promise. Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I pray now, I know it's been a very simple message, and I've stuttered a lot tonight.